Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I feel like I'm constantly reminding myself that we are all carrying around different stressors, big and small. But when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. And naturally, that can start to affect everything else around us too. Therapy can be a safe place to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. I know that therapy isn't for everyone, but it definitely has benefited me in the past with learning how to sit with my feelings, set boundaries with people, and I don't know, learn how to function with a little less shame. But if you are thinking of starting therapy and access has been hard for you, maybe BetterHelp is the right fit. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient. You can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/makeyourbed today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/makeyourbed. Good morning, sunshine. Welcome to another day of the Make Your Damn Bed podcast. Today, we're diving into week 8 of The Artist Way, recovering a sense of strength. On the side here, Julia says, this week tackles another major creative block, time. You will explore the ways in which you have used your perception of time to preclude taking creative risks. You will identify immediate and practical changes you can make in your current life. You will excavate the early conditioning that may have encouraged you to settle for less. And she introduces this concept to us through the first section, survival. She says, one of the most difficult tasks an artist must face is a primal one, artistic survival. All artists must learn the art of surviving loss, lost hope, lost face, lost money, lost self-belief. In addition to our other gains, we inevitably suffer these losses in an artistic career. They are the hazards of the road, and in many ways, it's signposts. Artistic losses can be turned into artistic gains and strengths, but not in the isolation of the artist's brain. As mental health experts are quick to point out, in order to move through loss and beyond it, we must acknowledge it and share it. Because artistic losses are seldom openly acknowledged or mourned, they become artistic scar tissue that blocks growth. Deemed too painful, too silly, too humiliating to share. And so to heal, they become, instead, secret losses. And it's true. We suffer terribly if our book doesn't sell, if the best pot shatters, if the poems aren't great or well accepted, or we're injured during the dance. We must remember, though, that our artist is a child, and that what we can handle intellectually far outstrips what we can handle emotionally. The disappointing reception of a good piece of work, the inability to move across into a different medium or type of role due to other people's expectations of us are artistic losses that must be mourned. It does us no good to say it happens to everyone, or who was I kidding anyway? The unmourned disappointment becomes the barrier that separates us from future dreams. Perhaps the most damaging form of artistic loss has to do with criticism. The artist within, like the child within, is seldom hurt by truth. I will say again that much true criticism liberates the artist it is aimed at. We are childlike, not children. Typically, if you get a good piece of criticism that hits the mark, you go, oh yeah, I see that, I could change that. But the criticism that damages an artist is the criticism, well-intentioned or ill, that contains no saving kernel of truth, but has a certain damning plausibility or an unassailable blanket judgment. The point is, when we feel shame, we are less likely to keep trying because we're worried we're going to continue to feel that shame. She goes on in the next section to say, creativity cannot be comfortably quantified in intellectual terms. By its very nature, creativity eschews such containment. But she argues that artists and intellectuals are not the same animal, and can be really confusing when we mix up the two. Without specific tools and sufficient ego strengths, many gifted artists languish for years in the wake of academic criticism, leading them away from riskier but potentially more groundbreaking work. Skipping ahead, she says, like the career of any athlete, an artist's life will have injuries. These go with the game. The trick is to survive them, to learn how to let yourself heal. Just as a player who ignores a sore muscle may tear it further, an artist who buries their pain over losses will ultimately cripple themselves into silence. Give yourself the dignity of admitting your artist wounds. This is the first step in healing them. But no inventory of our artistic injuries would be complete without acknowledging those wounds that we self-inflicted, sabotaged by our fear, low self-worth, or other agendas. The problem is, lost chances often haunt us bitterly in later years. It is important to register them as losses. She does remind us that not all losses are completely a loss. Some of them are gains disguised as losses. And I quote, art is the act of structuring time. Look at it this way, a piece of art says. Here's how I see it. Which means, if you consider it, every loss must always be viewed as a potential gain. It's all in the framing. Every end is just a beginning. And as much as we may know that, we tend to forget it as we move through grief. Struck by loss, we focus, understandably, on what we leave behind. The lost dream of the work's successful fruition and its buoyant reception. We need to focus on what lies ahead. This can be tricky. We may not know what lies ahead, and if the present hurts this badly, we tend to view the future as impending pain, too. But figuring out what gains are actually disguised as pain can be a powerful tool for artists and people alike. And to figure this out, she reminds us that it's okay to brutally ask yourself, how can this loss serve me? Where does it point me? Where does it point my work? Hopefully the answers will surprise and liberate you from the pain, because you'll be able to metabolize it as energy. The key to doing that, though, is to know and to trust and to act as if there's a silver lining that exists, if you are only willing to look at the work differently or to walk through a different door, even if that door felt like one you did not want to go through in the beginning. She tells a story about how she went the traditional route with trying to get films made, going to different studios, and facing a ton of rejection and loss, but eventually deciding to go through a different door of independent filmmaking. And I want to say, whenever we do that, we still gain all of the knowledge and experience and wisdom of the studio trials that we get to take into our independent filmmaking process. So again, even the historical losses count as a gain because they offer us wisdom, experience, and knowledge of the other side. She reminds us to just ask, what is necessary next? And I think that's such a valuable question. What is necessary next? That can keep us from getting too far ahead in our journeys and stressing about things that may never come. And it can keep us from dwelling on the past losses. What is necessary next is a valuable question because it pushes us towards inspired action. And artists who take this to heart survive and often prevail. The key is the action. Pain that is not used profitably quickly solidifies into a heavy heart, which makes action really difficult. So, when you are faced with a loss, immediately take one small action to support yourself. Even if all you're doing is buying yourself a bunch of tulips, an acknowledgement of the pain is typically enough. There is science that when kids get a scrape and the parent pays attention to it and kisses the boo-boo and spends time bandaging the boo-boo, even if it did not need it, it does reduce the pain. And the same is true for you. Attention is invaluable. And recognizing that you have experienced negativity, pain, loss, grief is the first step in being able to move out of that grief and pain and loss into something else. And it's not always about alchemizing your grief into magic, but if we can acknowledge it at the very least, we're less likely to feel blanketed by it in a way that keeps us from moving forward. Tomorrow, we'll jump into the rest of week 8. In the meantime, I want you to know I love you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you then, when you make your damn bed. Goodbye, cutie.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.